Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 213, Guidance for Growing Christians. Guest Minister Tanya Schnitz delivered this message on Sunday, September 12th, 2021, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, amen. Thank you. Isn't that special? Oh, welcome, everybody. I'm glad you're here today. Let me shut this microphone off here. All right. Oh, the Lord has been really putting this message in me for a couple weeks now, and I'm really excited to share it with you today. Let me get set up here. All right. I'm going to be having Mew put up scripture, but it's going to be the ESV version because that's what we have here. But I studied the NIV because that's what old school does. All right. Today, many believers want an abundance of God's grace and peace, but they are unwilling to put forth the effort to get to know Him better through Bible study and prayer. To enjoy the privileges that God offers us freely, we need to grow in the knowledge of the Father and of Jesus our Lord. Today, we're going to seek guidance on growing as Christ followers through the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. Simon Peter, verse 1, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I will pause there and we will just break that down. I just think there's so much just in that section right there. How great an honor to serve our Savior. To triumph in being Christ's servants is very proper for those who are engaging others to enter into or abide in the service of Christ. True saving faith is precious grace and is very uncommon and very scarce among people professing faith today. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are invited, but few are chosen." This precious faith is obtained by God. Faith is a gift of God by the work of the Holy Spirit who raised Christ from the dead, and we obtain it through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. True faith is very excellent and a great use and advantage to those who have it. Faith unites the weak believer to Christ just as it does the strong one. It purifies the heart of one as truly as it does the other. Faith in whomever it exists takes hold of the same precious Savior and applies the same precious promises. In other words, we all have the same Savior and the same precious promises. It's just how we walk that out. Peter gives the greeting of grace and peace in this first letter as well as in the second one, but he blessed them extra by saying that they are multiplied or in abundance through their knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In this letter, he's trying to push a little further because he knows his time is coming to an end and he wants to encourage the people he's been pouring into and saying, we have it, we have it, we need to share it. So we can learn a lot from these verses here. I have learned a lot. It's amazing. This is acknowledging or believing in the only true and living God and Jesus Christ who he has sent. Peter was prompting the Christians to hope and expecting an increase of grace. What we have already received should encourage us to ask for more. Are you asking for more? We can. He says, keep asking. I have many promises. You can keep searching and asking. Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun the work of grace will perfect it. So we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. The key to our growth is knowing God has given us all things that pertain to life. All these blessings come to us through his divine power, the same power that formed the earth from nothing. all things that have any relation to and influence upon the true spiritual life, the life and power of godliness, are from Jesus Christ, and in him fullness dwells. Just like when a baby is born, I have a new grandson, and I can really look this in the eye. When a baby is born, God has already given them everything they need for physical life. It's all just compacted in there. Everything that that child is going to need for the rest of his life is already there. What's he got to do now? Grow. He has to grow in it. It's just like that for us. As the child grows, you can see the things developing that need to be there. God already put it in there. He's going to grow. He's going to mature. She's going to mature. And you're going to see that until they're a full adult. We have the same process spiritually. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing already. The day we said yes to Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior, every spiritual blessing came onto us. We received grace through faith, and we came to life. We are now born again, and we have everything at our access. Our job is to grow in it. This knowledge that we receive is not a casual acquaintance kind of knowledge, but an exact, complete, and thorough knowledge. We have access to that. We just have to look for it. Oh dear, I lost myself. Sorry. It's not merely intellectual and understandable, but it's a knowledge that comes by experience. We learn in our experience of being with God himself through prayer and from the community of God's people. God meets us not only in our solitude, but also in the community of his body. This is why discipleship is so important. It is understanding of what he has done and that it is not anything that we have done or could ever do. Jesus' own glory and goodness motivated the Father to call us, and it is by his glory and goodness that he draws us to himself. The design of God in calling men is to bring them to glory and virtue, or peace and grace, as some understand it. This calling to us is found in Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. And I know we know this because we've been studying it in the Believer's Authority. But it's a call to us and to others. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the richness of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That we may know. He wants us to get to that deep knowledge that he has to put on us, but we have to do something to get it. It is the glory of God's power to convert sinners, his goodness that men are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. He will take us from that baby to an adult into the full lightness of his glory if we allow him. If we go through that process, his very great and precious promises are ours. The promised blessings of the gospel are very amazing. As the great promise of the Old Testament was the seed of the woman, the Messiah. So the great promise of the New Testament is the Holy Spirit, as stated in Luke 24:49. How amazing is his enlightening, sanctifying, and life-giving presence. These promises are based upon his glory and virtue and are perfectly reliable because God can never compromise his glory and character. Psalm 138:2 reminds us that God honors his word even above his name. It says, "For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame." His promises are exceedingly great in the sense of being large and imposing. They are valuable. We need to stop living in the likeness of this world and claim these promises that he has given to us. We can participate in divine nature through his promises and escape the corruption of this world. Those who receive them will have their minds renewed in the Spirit and take on the image of God. In knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, our hearts will be set free for God and his service. The gospel is the ministration of life and the Spirit. It quickens those who are naturally dead in their sins. God could have rescued us from hell without inviting us to be partakers of his divine nature. But in this gift, he has given us an escape from the evil desires of this world. Think about that for a minute. Just the fact that he could have done it that way. He could have said, all right, I saved you, but live how you live. But he didn't. He invited us in to be just like him. He is not selfish. He is giving. He is loving. And he wants to flow that over each one of us in everything, in every way. He is good. And in this next section, as we read, there are seven characteristics, and just focus on each one and what his character is like and what we can develop from it. It says in verse 5-7, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection or brotherly love, and to brotherly love mutual affection, love. Each one of those. Make every effort is what he said at the beginning of that. Do everything in your power. We must take action. Our part of being a Christian is growing, and nothing else matters. Growing in Christ is the most important thing we will ever do here on earth. Being a Christ follower is not an extracurricular activity. We must take it everywhere we go. It should be everything to us. This is not a weak walk. It is who we are. It is what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Our being born again must result in action. Growth in our Christian character and the practice of moral discipline must be forefront in our lives, or it will die away. James 2:14-17 says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. We begin our life with God through faith. And as we receive discipleship, study our Bibles daily, and spend time in prayer, it will progress into goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. These words are intended to engage and excite others to advance in grace and holiness. Peter had already pointed out that they had obtained precious faith and had been partakers of the divine nature. They already had it. That's a good beginning, but not to be rested in, as if we were already perfect. He exhorts us to press forward and to obtain more grace. We can have more. It is free. Everybody loves the word free. His grace is free, and he'll give us more and more, and all we have to do is just go into it. Just go into it. It's the most important thing. Those who make any progress in their spiritual walk must be very diligent and industrious in their endeavors. Diligence. Without giving all diligence, there is no gaining any ground in the work of holiness. Those who are slothful in the business of religion will make nothing of it. We must work hard if we will enter at the straight gate. Luke 13:24 says to make every effort to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but they will fail. That's really heavy when you really think about that. If it's narrow, how is everybody going to get in? There's something we're supposed to be doing with it. Our faith is supposed to be producing something in us for others. This list that Peter wrote about starts out with goodness. Let's talk about goodness, God's goodness, his goodness. That's why we sang that song, goodness, goodness, his goodness. Goodness is virtue, it's valor, it's strength, it's courage, it's bravery. It is excellent of moral character. That's God's character, excellence. By virtue, we understand strength and courage comes to us believers who cannot stand up to the standards for good works. Could not do them by ourselves, that God asks of us. He asks us to do good works. That's the good works we're supposed to be doing, not just to look good to other people, but he actually asks us to go out and do something with our faith. And without this moral excellence, we could not live up to it. Proverbs 28:1 says, the righteous must be as bold as a lion. Now, who could do that? Who could be as bold as a lion with their faith if they did not have God's goodness in them, his courage, his bravery, his strength, his virtue? We couldn't do it. That's why when you are feeling fearful and you look to him and ask him for goodness, he'll give it to you so that you can be as bold as a lion when you're at work, when you're at play, when you're in the marketplace. You can be as bold as a lion with your faith because God will give you that character if you ask for it. Then we must add to it knowledge. Knowledge is awareness or familiarity gained by experience, the understanding of someone or something. There is a knowledge of God's name which must go before our path. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, we cannot approve of the good and perfect will of God and accept it until we know about it. So you can't say, yes, I'll take that, when you don't even understand. That's why it's so important to share the gospel with people. Those five verses on our wristband are important because they're the gateway for them to have an understanding so they can actually say, yes, I want that. We can talk all day long with our voice, but if you're not speaking Jesus and his word, it's not going to open that door of knowledge for those people. So praise God for our tools that we have. And our testimony. God gives us our testimony, which is also very powerful. I'm not saying that it isn't. Every believer must labor after the knowledge and wisdom that are needed for all our Christian duties and how we will perform them. Not only that we'll do them, but how we will perform them, being led by the Holy Spirit. Praise God, he gives us his spirit so that we can be in tune and we can speak what he wants us to speak, and we can open our mouths and know when we speak, it's going to come out Jesus. Here's a fact for you. Virtue comes in this list first because sin has to go before we can be filled with the knowledge about life with Christ. So if we want to know more about God, the sin has to get out of the way because it's blocking the door. It's pretty cool that he put it in this order. We want to live in moral excellence and not to entertain junk food, spiritual junk food in our diets. We want to eat healthy food for our souls. Once we get rid of the immorality, we can fill up with the meat of the word. And we can hunger for truth. And the truth does what? Sets us free. Amen. Truth, truth, truth. You got to get to that. All right, now let's add some self-control. This is the ability to manage your actions, feelings, and emotions. And if you're like me, you thought, I got to do this. I got to have self-control. I can control myself. That is not the biblical meaning of self-control. Praise God that we're learning this. This is the ability, self-control, to manage your actions. Wait a minute. Biblical self-control means choosing, you get to choose to give up trying to control things on your own. Yay! I'm so glad I learned that. Stop putting that fork in your mouth. Okay. So, but we then can surrender to God for help, and working alongside of him, we can have real change. I think that's so important to understand. It's not about me changing anything for myself. It's the fact that when we say yes to Jesus, we now have a choice. We get to say, do we want this or do we want that? So praise God that we learned that, right? So now that we have self-control, we've got goodness, we've got knowledge, and now we have self-control. Next comes patience. Also called perseverance or steadfastness, it means to endure, to remain steadfast. It's long-suffering and waiting on the Lord. James 1:4 says, perseverance must finish its work. so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So we have to walk through those things. We have to have our patience tested because we're waiting on the Lord. We have to do things in His time. Walking it out quickly or dragging our feet is not His way. So we have to submit to Him and say, I trust you to walk me through it. No matter what it looks like, no matter how long it takes, I know you've got me. Your promises say so. So to patience, we must add godliness. It means to be like God, more like Jesus, to think and act like Him, to live a life of holiness. His character is produced by patience for the works that we will experience. When we bear afflictions patiently, we get knowledge of the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. So you see, godliness is down further on the list, isn't it? Because if we don't do these other characteristics first, how are we going to get there? We have to start with His goodness. We have to start figuring out who He is and what He wants us to know. We have to have that self-control where He gets to control. We turn it over to Him. And then we wait in the promises, in patience. And then we start looking like Christ. We start walking like Him. Romans 5:4 says, "And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation." With godliness, which godliness allows us then to have brotherly kindness or affection? This is a fervent caring for other Christians or believers, children of the same Father, and therefore are to be loved with a pure heart. It's being selfless, compassionate, tender-hearted, and merciful. That's really good to know, isn't it? We are to love our brothers and sisters no matter what. That's why forgiveness comes in here. We have to have forgiveness because we're different people, and we have to walk in selflessness and love. Be tender-hearted. So last but certainly not least on the list is love. Just love. Love being the capstone of all God's work in us. If we do anything without love, we're doing nothing but, what does it say, a resounding gong. It's agape love, the fatherly love of God for humans. It means charity, to love as God loves to all people, unsaved and believers. And just in case we didn't fit them into the believer, into the brotherly category, He lists them there. So don't forget it. Unsaved and believers. We are to sympathize with others in their troubles and relieve their necessities, to promote their welfare, both in body and spirit, as we have the opportunity. This is the evidence that we are followers of Christ, children of God. We actually leave footsteps, just like Jesus did, for people to follow. The list demonstrates that God wants us to have a well-rounded, Christ-filled life, complete in every way. We can't be content with an incomplete Christian life. We just can't be. So now we're going to read verses 8 and 9. It says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." So we need to walk in these qualities in increasing measure. Why? Because we're abounding in growth. When we walk every day in these things, we're abounding in growth so that we will not be barren or unfruitful. Children of God are supposed to be producing something. We're His harvesters. If we walk in moral excellence, being obedient to the Word of God, we will be fruitful and productive in knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ. We will grow in the divine character attributes, and we will not become idle or slothful. So when we walk, you see that you get to know it, but you get to experience it too. So there's action there, and when you take those actions, you experience God even fuller. And you all know that when you bless somebody and you walk away, you're like, "Wow, God, you are amazing. Thank you for letting me do that." Woo! We will actually become very zealous, vigorous, lively, and active, bringing much glory to God. Well, that explains me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful. You hear that, honey? He's watching me now. How do we grow in our knowledge of God? By studying and meditating on the Word of God daily. You can ask yourself these three questions as you go, and maybe you're going to want to write them down. Grab a pen. Number one, here's a question when you read Scripture. Ask yourself, what does this tell me about God? What is His character, His personality, and His attributes? That's what we're looking for. In every verse, you can find God, because He spoke it. So in every verse, we ask, what does this tell me about Him? What does He want me to get? What is He commanding me to do? Number two, He's telling us to do something in His Word. So number two says, what does God want me to do in obedience to Him in this verse? What is He saying to me? What am I supposed to be walking out? There's usually an action to go with it. Number three, what is God promising me? Which promises is the Lord inviting me to claim today? Obviously, there's hundreds of them in the Bible. So we ask for today. He says, I will give you daily bread. So we ask for today. Lord, what are you telling me about you? What are you asking me to do, to be obedient to? And what is the promise for me to take today to walk in? Fresh bread every day. And you know what? When you meet somebody that day, it's going to be that promise that you speak, because He had you get it in your heart in the morning or whenever you do your devotions. So we can also understand there are various aspects of prayer, such as worship prayer, petition prayer, confession, and intercession, just to name a few. There are many kinds of prayer, as we studied in our book before. Spending time with the Lord in prayer is a great way to get to know His heart. We can have a conversation with Him, both spontaneous and sincere. So I'm having her put up this verse. Jesus modeled these things for us in His life here on earth in John 15, verses 5 through 11. So my version is different, but it's the same words. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Sarah taught on that, about abiding. We have to abide with Him and He will abide with us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's that self-control where we can let God have control. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. A little prophecy there. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. There's the goodness of God right there. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in His love. Thank you, Lord. That's knowledge right there for you, to understand that if He's demonstrating that He loves His Father and He does what He's told, we're to do the same. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Is that the promise at the end there? If you do these things, the promise in this verse is that your joy will be complete and you know you're going to bring joy to Him. He spelled it all out for us. All we have to do is follow it and be obedient. And the last two verses in 10 and 11. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been called by God and born again through Jesus Christ. How we choose to live our lives is very important. We need to be dedicated to Him to live full and productive lives, full of joy and peace. Doing what is right is more than simply believing all the right doctrines about God. It means living obediently to Him. Good deeds do not save us, but they do display our faith. We need to put an action to our faith and love on others just as God loves us. Sharing our testimony, speaking the gospel, and helping people in need are some of the ways our faith can be walked out. It is the duty of believers to make our calling and election sure, to be diligent to add to our faith the seven character qualities used here in 2 Peter. We then prove to ourselves that we are chosen of God. We also need to allow God to be the potter and us to be the pliable clay, letting him form us in these divine characteristics. We're not doing this by ourselves. We're only doing a tiny portion. We just have to be willing to allow him to do that. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we want that potter to make us into something new, to be transformed by aligning our thoughts with his thoughts, humbling ourselves to him in every way? We can become remade to be lovely vessels being formed in his mighty hands. He comes down and he forms that little baby, that little compact baby gets to grow and become a mature adult Christian, a Christ follower, and he does the work. We just have to allow him. It's simply surrendering to him. We must examine ourselves and make sure we are thoroughly converted. Our minds are enlightened and our wills are renewed. That's very key. We have to be willing to be converted, and we have to allow our minds to be enlightened, take authority, bind up the enemy, and walk in what God has for us, and letting our wills be renewed. Our wills and our minds. I read this last week, but I love it so much, I'm reading it again. A quote from Smith Wigglesworth. Truly, the word of God changes a man until it becomes an epistle of God. It transforms his mind, changes his character, moves him on from grace to grace, makes him an inheritor of the very nature of God. God comes in, he dwells in, walks in, talks through, and sups with him who opens his being to the word of God and receives the Spirit who inspired it. It is only when we stop seeking to know God that we become blind and backslidden. We can forget that we have complete salvation, healing, deliverance, eternal life. It's all ours. But we can forget when we get in the waves. We can forget that we have it all already. It's already been done. It's like pedaling a bike. If you're not moving forward, your feet are on the pedals, you are sitting still, and maybe even going backwards. When you stop moving, you're going to fall over and get hurt. We do not want to stumble and trip over unbelief and doubt. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If we are always growing, we will have no doubt in our salvation. Our lives will be fruitful, not barren, and we will live life to the fullest and have an eternal reward. We will have stability in grace on earth and a triumphant entrance into glory. What do you think a rich welcome into the kingdom of God looks like? Can you see it? I believe we will receive a personal welcome from Jesus himself. As soon as we arrive, he will say, "Welcome home, daughter or son." I think he will. So what characteristics are you needing to build in today? I want you to examine your heart. Do you need goodness, knowledge, self-control, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love? All. We all need more of it, each one. We need them all. But maybe there's one that's you're stuck on or you need a little help from. God's good. God's good. All right. I cannot read your lips. I'm sorry. Huh? Picture. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I had her put up this picture. This is how we should see ourselves right now. The first part. Humble yourselves before God. Thank you, Mio.
Put the full armor.
Put the full armor on. Yeah, the rest of it's important for other battles. But today, I just wanted you to look at that person humbling themselves before God and just moving into the characteristics of God by doing that. All right. Thank you, Lord, for these words that I spoke. Thank you, Lord, that they go into people today, and they bless each one of us. I am grateful for the opportunity to preach this kind of a message because I learned so much. This message will never leave my heart because it's just so good. And I'm thankful God directed me to this one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House Podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.